Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenaway continues our series, Peace and Pain, where we talk about pain in life and how Jesus is our source of true peace. Dallas talks about anxiety and challenges us to think about what we're anxious about and where we turn when we experience anxiety. We look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7, and talk about what it looks like to humble ourselves and cast all our anxieties on God because He cares for us. We also look at Jesus in Mark 14 as He becomes overwhelmed with facing death and Jesus' example of facing anxiety. We hope you enjoy this message.
So, yeah, that was good. That song, maybe you caught on last week or this week or something, but that song has a lot to do with the series we're in, this series called Peace and Pain. And I know Justin last week kicked things off and was talking about worry and what do we do with our worries, where can we take them. And this morning we're actually going to talk about anxiety. And I mean, this whole series is kind of about these things. It's about anxiety and worry, and we'll talk a little bit about depression. And those are some of the pains. And then later on in this series, we'll talk specifically about the peace. And hopefully there's some peace in every single message as we talk about the one who is our peace, right? So this week, as we're talking about anxiety, we'll talk about some statistics and some of that kind of stuff in just a second. But I experienced some anxiety this past, I guess 2 weeks ago now. It's hard to believe it's been 2 weeks, when we bring our little baby boy Samuel home, right? The first few nights at the hospital, like if you've spent time around a baby, I mean, you know, it can be rough, like with a newborn, right? But it wasn't as rough as the first night at home with our two-year-old in the house, and it was crazy. It was not exaggerating. I think it was the second worst night of my life, just as far as like my emotions going crazy and everybody in the house like screaming, and I mean, it was nuts. The first worst time in my life, the first worst night, was a night where at 2 a.m., this is back when I lived with my parents when I was in high school, at 2 a.m., the fire alarm started going off, right? And we had no idea why, but obviously it sounds like there's a fire. So everybody gets up, you know, your heart's beating like super fast and you have no idea what's happening. You know, I can't find my glasses, so I'm basically blind. And like we run out of the house and we wait for the house to burn down, right? And nothing's happening. And we don't like smell any smoke, nothing. And so we go back into the house like, Dallas, will you go up in the attic and check? Like, what's going on? Nothing. And then the fire alarm finally shuts off. And we're like, well, what do we do? And everybody goes back to sleep, and 20 minutes later, the exact same thing happened. And like the rest of the night, it was like a cycle of that. And we just could not get, no matter what we did, we ended up having to like unplug all of the fire alarms. It was the worst. So now every time I hear that beep, right, like I just jump. Like it really is scary. So that was like the worst night of my life. I'm scarred forever. The second worst night of my life, hopefully I won't be scarred forever from this, but it was when we brought little baby Samuel Dallas, as sweet and cute as he is, home. And normally our two-year-old will go to sleep at like 8 o'clock at night, okay, and won't wake up until 7:30 the next morning. It's glorious. Like if he makes a noise in the night, we know that something's wrong. Like the only times he's done that, he's been sick or he's like wet the bed or something like that. He's also potty trained at 26 months. I can't explain it, but it's happened, okay? He's like a great, great kid. On this night, we put him in bed at 8, and he didn't go, like, get any sleep until, like, after midnight, right? I mean, literally, like, Samuel, we were up in our room and trying to settle down and take care of Samuel, and he would just start wailing, man. Right? And just, like, uncontrollable. Like, sometimes you can see a baby crying, and you're like, yeah, feed it, right? Yep, poop, burp, pee, right? Like, all the things. Give it a passy, nothing. Nothing was working with this kid. And so as soon as Owen, our two-year-old, hears his baby brother crying, he goes, Mommy, Daddy, ah! Right? And sometimes he would just be like, Mommy, poop, Daddy, poop, because he's trying to get out of the room and like he's faking that he's got to poop, right? And just all night it was back and forth. Like Samuel would start crying, maybe because he needed to be fed, or like sometimes we just didn't know. And then Owen would start crying. And so I'm like trying to help Brittany and change diapers and do that fun stuff. And then I'm going back to Owen's room and like, buddy, it's okay. And kind of had some sweet dad moments in there to be like, all right, buddy, like whenever you're scared, you know, like you can call on God and he's going to be there with you. And it's got like some really cool dad with your two-year-old moments. But then that was like 15 seconds and then it was back to just wailing, right? And so Owen like finally went to sleep at like 12:30 or 1 and then 30 minutes, like the cycle just started happening again. And so it was terrible. And the whole time, all I could think about was, is my life for the next like 2 years about to be the life of Matt Densky, all right? Which, if you've ever talked to Matt, maybe he's talked about it in here before, but like his kids just were not great sleepers, like historically have not been. And so I was like, if this is what it is, like, Jesus, please, you got to come quick. I mean, something's got to change. And after that first night, I think we really just kind of learned our son, and it's been so much better since. But it was terrible. And in the midst of it, now, like, looking back on it and kind of studying anxiety and stuff this week, because I was, like, me and Brittany were crying, right? Me and my wife were just in tears and just, like, praying, and just we had no idea what to do except, like, let's just survive through the night, right? But there were things in that night that we couldn't control, right? Like, we can't control Owen. We couldn't control our newborn. We couldn't control a lot of things, right? And another side of it was that there were things that were unknown in the night. Like, we had no idea why Samuel kept crying. We had no idea what would get Owen to go to sleep. We had no idea if this was going to be the rest of our lives, right? At least for like the next 2 years. And it's really kind of at this intersection or crossroads of the uncontrollable and the unknowable where anxiety is, right? Have you ever thought about that? When there's things in your life that you can't control, like literally you just have no control over, and that's way more in your life than you may be willing to admit. And when there's things in your life that you just don't know how this is going to shake out. You don't know the outcome. You don't know, like, what it's going to be 5 minutes from now, let alone 5 years from now. Like, is this still going to be the same in my life? The uncontrollable and the unknowable at the intersection of those two things is anxiety. And some of you have struggled with this more than others, right? Some of you have struggled with this more than me. I would say there's been, like, very short spurts in my life where I feel like maybe for a few days at a time I was really anxious about something. And maybe that's been you. Or maybe you just are somebody who, like, maybe you just feel like right now you're in a season of anxiety. Like, man, I've just been not able to calm down, not able to find peace for weeks, maybe for months. And I don't know what it might be that gets you to that place. Maybe it's stuff with school, right? There's a lot of pressure on you guys to perform in school. And I think more than ever before, things like college, which for me in middle school, I didn't even think about college, right? But some of you are already thinking about college because there seems to be more pressure than ever before for you guys to get there and get the grades. And maybe you feel that from your parents and from your teachers. Maybe that makes you anxious. Maybe it's something in your friendships, right? Or maybe even in your guy, girl, like who likes who relationships. And maybe it's something that you said and you're like, I don't, maybe I didn't say that right. I didn't mean to say it like that. I hope they didn't hear it like that. And you stay up at night just like worrying and overanalyzing. And if you're an overanalyzer, me too, right? Like, I'm right there with you. But you can't get your mind to stop thinking about that thing. And it becomes a driver of anxiety in your life. Maybe it's sports and you feel this pressure from somewhere to perform, or maybe it's just moving to a new city and trying to find your place, trying to find your people, and you can't. It's not the same as what it used to be. Like, things are just different, right? And you're just starting to get, like, overwhelmed by this pressure of, I've got to find my people. And anxiety, it can feel like that. It can feel like this pressure, this weight. Some people describe it as feeling like you're drowning and you just can't get out, right? Actually, as I was looking at statistics, one of the ones that I didn't find is this, but I think it's fair to say that 100% of people who live on this earth will experience anxiety at some point in their life. Maybe not for like a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever, but you will experience moments of anxiety in your life. In fact, we're going to talk about it in just a little bit, maybe more in your small groups, but Jesus experienced anxiety in this life. Scripture that Nathan just read talks about how Jesus can relate to all the things that we experience in this world. And one of those things is anxiety. So 100% of people will experience some level of anxiety in your life. So that is everybody in the room, by the way. And then from what I was seeing in America, 1 in 3 people will experience some type of anxiety and or depression for a season of their life. 1 out of every 3 people in America will experience that. That's crazy. And it's only getting worse. I mean, not to dog on our phones and devices, right? But it's only getting worse as technology keeps improving and screens, literal computers are set in front of our faces and social media brings new pressures and the desire for more likes and more attention and all these things say, tell us that we have to have the right angle when we take a picture and we have to have the right caption on that picture and we have to make sure that all the things are right and all the things are proper and that we show people what they want to see and hide away the things that we don't want them to see or know about, right? It's only going up as things in business change and shift. It's only going up as things like college get more and more competitive. It's only going up as our travel baseball teams and basketball teams. There's more of that pressure for sports things than ever before. This is actually something that I thought was maybe the most interesting is, you know, we have way higher levels, almost double the levels of anxiety and depression as do third world countries because of all the stuff that we have going on in our lives. And yet, we want to spread the gospel of first world problems to all these countries, right? Like, we want them to have all the technology and all the awesome things and all the money and all the... But is it worth it? See, all the things that I'm talking about, they don't sound super peaceful. They sound way more like that second word, pain, right? So, what do we do? What do you do when you're experiencing anxiety? In fact, that's a question I want you to think about right now. Where do you turn when you get anxious about something? Maybe it's just for like a few minutes, but what do you do? Do you ask like a family member and say, hey, like I can't calm down right now. I can't get my mind to stop. Do you have a friend that you can call or text? Say, hey, listen, girl, or listen, dude, I know this sounds silly. I know it might seem small to you, but here's what I'm going through. Do you journal? Do you just get out, like in creation, what do you do when you're dealing with anxiety? That's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning and what we're going to see in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's some very familiar verses, but go ahead and turn there in your Bibles if you have them or scroll there on your digital device if you must, right? But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, this guy named Peter is the one who traditionally most scholars believe wrote this book of 1 Peter, right? And he was writing to a group of people who, not to belittle any of the things that you and I have gone through, but it's definitely a little different. See, they were anxious, they were fearful, they were worried about their very lives. And they were under intense persecution. They didn't know if they were going to live to the next day or the next week or the next year because of what they believed in. So you want to talk about like anxiety? Maybe you've experienced this where maybe you have dealt with an illness or some sort of serious accident where you were like, I don't know if I'm going to live, right? Literal life and death situation. And that's what these people are dealing with here. So what does he say? What kind of advice does he offer? Where does he tell them to turn in the midst of that pretty serious anxiety? I think wherever it is, it ought to be helpful for us as well, all right? So let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." We're actually going to start in verse 7. And here's what Peter says to do with your anxieties. Plain and simple, something that you've all heard before, but maybe God will have it mean a little bit something different this morning. Cast, when you have anxieties, when you have fears, when you have worries, cast all of those things, give all of those things to God. Just like our song said, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. You're like, well, yeah, duh, right? Let me ask you, I just said a couple minutes ago, where do you go when you're dealing with anxiety, right? No matter what it's about, no matter how big you think it is, no matter how small it may seem, where do you go with those anxieties? Where do you go with those thoughts? Do you take them to God? Do I? I've got to examine my own life. We know it, but sometimes I don't think we're practically doing it, right? And when we do, here's something that I think we do because of what we actually talked about a little earlier. I think we only take certain things to God because we forget or choose to ignore what Peter says in the second part of verse 7, that God, why can we cast our cares on God? Why can we cast our anxieties on him? Why should we? Because he loves you. Every part of you. You know, earlier I said, sometimes it feels like the world wants you to present like this side of your face, right? Like only the good side, only the pretty stuff. Maybe of you physically, but also like what's going on inside. Like we just want good vibes, right? Good vibes only. It's new hippies, right? Good vibes only, bro. No bad vibes here. No negative stuff. So if you got something going on that's nasty, don't even bring it up, right? But it feels that way online. And even in some of your closest friendships where you're like, I know that I can talk about these things with that person, but I'm going to like, let's just keep those other things in the closet. You know what I'm talking about? And so all these things build up and your secrets become even more secret and your sins become even more sinful, if I may. But you just tuck it away and you keep it. And when it comes to your relationship with God, you treat it just the same. And so do I. Yeah, I'll give him these things because it makes sense. God, please help me on this test. But when it comes to something that's more serious or more heavy on our heart, we treat him just like the other people around us. And we're like, I just don't know if he wants that. But that's not what Peter's saying. Peter's not just saying, just bring the light stuff to God. Just bring the, you know, not so bad stuff. Just bring not quite your messiest stuff to God. No, he's saying bring it all. Because he loves you regardless of anything that you're thinking, regardless of anything that you've done, regardless of anything that you think about yourself that you don't want to share with anyone else, he loves all of you. So cast your anxieties on him. Do you take things to God like that? Do I take things to God like that? Do we realize how much he loves us? I think that if we did, we actually would start to take those things to him. That you would start to get real with him. And then, so that's verse 7. Let's look at verse 6. What does it say? I think it helps us a little bit more understand what this means. So give your anxieties, cast your anxieties on God because he loves you, because he wants them, because he wants to walk with you through that. Here's another thing maybe before we get to verse 6. This does not say, hey, give your anxieties to God and poof, magic, like a genie, right? Aladdin. Then they're gone. Cast your anxieties on God and then everything will be fine and it's all going to be fixed. Nope. Nope. Cast your anxieties on God because God loves you and wants to be right there in the midst of your anxieties, in the midst of your pains with you. And you know the difference. You know what it's like to walk through something alone. You know what it's like to be in your own mind and feel like you can't share it with anybody else. And on the flip side, hopefully, you know what it's like to walk through something with somebody who truly cares about you and about what you're going through. And God wants to be right there with you because he does care. He does love you. He knows you better than anybody else. And he can be with you at any moment of any day and of any anxiety. Let's take a step further in that. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you. How do you get to this place where you are casting your anxieties on him, where you finally are at the place where you're willing to give those dirty, nasty things that you don't think anybody, including God, wants to know about? You humble yourselves. Maybe for you it is a physical posture. Maybe you have to get on your knees like I'm doing, or maybe you have to get on your face before God and cry out to him, but you have to get to a place, I have to get to a place where you realize we cannot do this life alone. God, I need you. I surrender. You humble yourselves before God. Guys, we were not made to do this life alone, and yet many of us try to carry this weight or try to breathe underwater all on our own without any help from anyone or anything. And that's not how God designed life to be done. In fact, this is kind of interesting, but Peter was one of the closest people to Jesus. There were Peter, James, and John that were like Jesus's three buds, right? Remember, Peter's the one who wrote this letter, wrote the words that we're reading about today. And I think Peter actually gives us an example in his own life as he walked with Jesus, of not only do we need to humble ourselves before God, but God actually designed life to be done with him, but also with other people. See, we need to get to a place where we actually humble ourselves before God and before others. Probably a select few others, right? But we need to humble ourselves before God and others and invite other people to help us carry our anxieties. So Peter, you guys may read this in your small group. In Mark chapter 14, it's right before Jesus was arrested and then crucified, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he's sweating, he's anxious, he's experiencing anxiety because he knows what's about to come, right? And he's sweating to the point that he's like sweating blood. I mean, it's intense. It's crazy. And you can read about it in Mark chapter 14, but he asks three guys, his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, hey, come into the garden with me. Come and let's pray. Come and let me just share with you what's going on. And he expresses to them that, like, I'm experiencing anxiety. There's a weight, a weightiness that I'm feeling right now, and I need you here with me. Jesus himself, the Son of God, right? Our Savior. He realized that he needed other people as well. So how much more, or maybe in the same way, do you and I? Who are your Peter, James, and John? Who are the friends that you may need to humble yourself before and share the anxieties with? Ask for them to pray with you, just like Jesus asked of Peter, James, and John. Who's that for you? Where do you cast your anxieties? God loves you, so you can take it all to him. But to do that, you have to humbly submit to him. He's also invited us to not do life alone. We get to do it with other people. But to do that, you have to humbly submit to them and be willing to admit some of the things that are going on in your own heart. Maybe you haven't shared with anybody else before. Maybe those friends are in small groups, which we're going to get a chance to talk with and talk about this subject with right now. So let me pray for us, and then we will do that. God, thank you for the life of your Son, Jesus. God, thank you for his example of how he dealt with anxiety. And that in the moments where he was anxious, he didn't handle everything alone, but he had people around him. He had Peter, James, and John and the disciples that he could share those things with, that he could ask to join him in prayer. Lord, help us to find our Peter, James, and John. Bring people to mind as we think about who those folks are. And God, help us to humbly submit ourselves to you and to cast our anxieties on you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.